Wall Street faced another sell-off Tuesday as investors grapple with escalating trade tensions between the U.S. and China. The Dow was down more than 400 points at the low of the morning, while the S&P and NASDAQ were also deep in the red. The declines coming despite news that China is still sending its top trade official, Liu He, to Washington this week.
Google is trying hard to convince consumers that it's safe to trust them. At its developer conference on Tuesday, the tech giant put the issue front and center. To that end, Google announced a new function that will allow users to choose how long Google keeps its data collected from the web and apps, and later this year will introduce an incognito mode on Google Maps, keeping the map use data private.
Lyft raced out of the gate Tuesday with better than expected revenues in its first quarterly report as a public company. Sales just about doubled from a year ago, coming in at $776 million. But the money-losing ride-sharing company saw its losses swell to $1.1 billion in the quarter due to expenses tied to its market debut. When it comes to newly listed companies, however, Wall Street is all about sales growth. That fear is one of the reasons why shares of Lyft have slumped 18% from their $72 offering price.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's May the 8th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in again for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We're going to hit the markets in a minute to tell you what they're doing this morning, both in the U.S. and around the world. On the program today, Daniel Griswold will be here from the Mercatus Center to talk a little bit about the trade war and the threat of more tariffs possibly coming at the end of the week. He'll be up first this morning. And then a little bit later in the program, it is our Building Business Around Town segment brought to you by Associated Bank. Pat Cardone will be featured today, CEO of Cardone Custom Homes. That'll be at about 5:38 this morning here on The Opening Bell. So stay tuned for that. Let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. All eyes will be on Wall Street today, a day after the Dow Jones fell more than 470 points, as the growing trade war threat is weighing heavily on investors. At the closing bell yesterday, the Dow tumbled more than 470 points, as we mentioned, 473 points to be exact. The NASDAQ fell 160, the S&P was down 48. This morning, as we look at the futures market, weakness there heading to the opening bell this morning. Dow futures down 117 points, nearly a half a percent. Same story over at the S&P and NASDAQ, both futures down nearly a half a percent and a half a percent respectively on those numbers this morning. In Asia, everything's in the red. The Nikkei finishing down nearly 320 points off a percent and a half. The Hang Seng off nearly a percent and a quarter. The Shanghai off more than a percent. In Europe, markets are in the red as well. In London, Germany, and France, off from a quarter of a percent to nearly a third. And oil in the U.S. is at $61.21 a barrel, down about 19 cents. Some stories as we begin this morning. First, a Bitcoin heist. Cryptocurrency exchange Binance confirming hackers have stolen 7,000 Bitcoin with a value of more than $40 million. The company claims that no users will be affected by the hack of the digital currency site, saying that the lost funds will be covered by the Secure Asset Fund for users for that program that was set up last year. The company is planning to go public soon. Its CEO in a statement says that the hackers were patient and used several techniques to steal API keys and two-factor codes and other information in the attack. Once they triggered it, Binance shut down withdrawals to all accounts, and an investigation is underway. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is proposing rule changes that would allow debt collectors to send texts, emails, and private messages to people who are behind on their debts. The new rules would not limit the number of text, emails, or messages bill collectors could send, but it would require them to give people a way to opt out or unsubscribe. The proposed changes would limit the number of times each week that bill collectors could call consumers. As we continue to watch markets and the concern over more tariffs, the president threatening to put more tariffs in place and ramp up tariffs on Chinese imports at the end of the week. That was part of the reason we saw that sell-off yesterday on Wall Street. Joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about this is Daniel Griswold, Senior Research Fellow and Director of Trade and Immigration at the Mercatus Center. Daniel, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So this sell-off yesterday, obviously investors are concerned about this, and rightly so, correct?
Yes, that's right. China is a key business partner. They're the number third market for U.S. exports, a lot of U.S. investment over there. If our trade relationship with China goes off the tracks, it's going to affect a broad swath of U.S. business, and you saw that in the market's reaction yesterday.
I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what is going on with the talks. We've been hearing for week after week that there was progress being made, that they were close to a deal. It kind of feels like today that maybe that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the market reaction. It was a surprise. The president up until recently was saying the talks were going very, very well. And I don't know exactly what happened. U.S. Trade Ambassador Lighthizer says the Chinese were walking back on some of their commitments. But I think the thing to keep in mind is the U.S. reaction, I think, is out of proportion to what's at stake here. China is a bad actor on intellectual property and on restrictions on foreign investment, and that does hurt U.S. business. But these tariffs imposed by our own government have done more damage to the U.S. economy and millions of U.S. families than anything the Chinese have done.
And what about in China? What has been the impact there? Are they having any impact over there?
Yes. If anything, the impact's greater in China. It's affected their stock market. It's been a drag on their economy. They're still growing, but it's shaving some points off their growth. So, you know, economists will tell you pretty much unanimously that these sort of trade wars are a lose-lose situation. No one's a winner except a few protected industries. The president's trade war, economists estimate it's cost more than $1 billion a month of growth shaved off the U.S. economy because of this trade war. It's like a bomb cyclone hitting the U.S. Every month imposed by our own government.
I heard an analyst over the weekend mention the flip side of that coin, that despite that impact that you just talked about, the jobs report shows the economy is still growing, jobs are still being created, GDP is up, several other data points are higher. And the argument is that our economy can withstand this fight with China. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, there's never a good time to pick this sort of trade fight, but we do have a lot of momentum in the U.S. economy. I think it's despite the president's trade policy, not because of it. And an interesting thing, the last few months, you've actually seen manufacturing jobs decline. And I think that's because the tariff war is starting to hit the nation's heartland, the manufacturing Midwest, of which, of course, Chicago is right in the center.
Yeah, and agriculture, we can get into agriculture as well, but the farmers are really feeling this in a big way.
The soybean, the loss of soybean sales to China has been devastating. That's why farm bankruptcies are reaching a record high in the upper Midwest. And there's other reasons behind it, but the trade war is contributing to that.
And we're talking about the tariff situation, the trade war between the U.S. and China. The countries have raised tariffs on tens of billions of dollars of each other's goods in their dispute over U.S. complaints about Chinese technology ambitions, and those tariffs could go higher by the end of the week, and there could be even more goods included in this. Daniel, what is the alternative? If we don't do tariffs, how do we get China to come to the table and agree to something good about this technology issue?
Yeah, there is a better way. We have tools at our disposal. We have the World Trade Organization. We've brought more than 20 cases against China since they joined the WTO. And in every case, they've moved in a market reform direction. Maybe not perfectly, but they moved in that direction. We can also bring specific legal cases against the bad actors in China through the Department of Justice and other tools. And we've done that. And that has the benefit of going right after the people the agencies that are violating intellectual property. If we're worried about Chinese investment here in the United States, we have something called the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, CFIUS, and that could actually block transactions. And let's continue talking to the Chinese. They've reformed a lot in the last 20 years. No, they're not a market economy like the United States, but they've moved in a generally positive direction in terms of upgrading their intellectual property rules, in terms of welcoming foreign investment. China has an incentive. It's ironic. The things we're urging China to do will be good for China, will actually make it a more attractive place for foreign investment.
And that's what makes this game of chicken, if you want to call it that, even so, even more concerning, is that the two countries really could be excelling individually together as well without this fight going on.
That's exactly right. And let's not lose, while we have problems in our relationship with China, overall, it's hugely mutually beneficial. It's a great market for Midwestern farmers selling soybeans and pork. It's a great export area. They're the third largest buyer of U.S. goods and services exports in the world, behind only Canada and Mexico. It's a great place for U.S. companies to invest. We sell an additional $350 billion of U.S. branded goods and services in China through majority-owned affiliates. They send back about $30 billion in profits each year, so it's a great place to invest. We have a mutually beneficial relationship with the world's second largest economy. We shouldn't screw it up.
And it makes me wonder why we are talking about a deadline. We have a new one this Friday. There have been all of these other deadlines over recent months. If we can just continue talking and not have something like a deadline pressuring the two sides, that might make it a little easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I agree. And I think we were making progress. We could have tied up some important things. China has agreed to some things in those talks. So I'm not sure what was going through the president's head when he tweeted on Sunday, but it does seem to have derailed something that was moving towards a solution. So who knows? The president's supporters say, just wait, we'll have a better deal. And that's still possible. His approach might work. But so far, it's been all pain, no gain. We haven't seen any results.
And remind us again, if we see, let's see, another $200 million, or what is it, $1 billion with a B?
Billion.
Possibly on Friday, I'm reading electronics, clothing, other things that we're also used to paying less money for. It's we, the consumer, who's going to suffer from all of this.
Yes. We started out with $50 billion, duties on $50 billion worth of imports, and those were mostly things that businesses buy, so consumers were somewhat shielded, although business costs went up. But yes, you're exactly right. It's going to go from 10% to 25% on $200 billion of imports, and that's going to hit consumers right in the pocket. And studies have shown it's Americans. It's you and me. It's your listeners who are paying the cost of these tariffs. Basically, the government is taking money out of our pockets every time we shop and sending it to the Treasury. And the president's even said he's going to impose 25% tariffs on the rest of our imports from China, another $250 billion, which is going to hit American consumers and, frankly, less well-off consumers the hardest because they spend the higher share of their income on these goods from China.
Daniel, we appreciate you being with us this morning and giving us a little insight and maybe some options here with China as we see this deadline approaching on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel Griswold, Senior Research Fellow and Director of Trade and Immigration at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. It's time again for our Building Business Around Town segment brought to you by Associated Bank and WGN's Bennett Wakenight, speaking with Pat Cardone, CEO of Cardone Custom Homes.
I'm Bennett Wakenight with WGN Radio, and this is Building Business Around Town brought to you by Associated Bank. And we're here with Pat Cardone of Cardone Custom Homes. Pat, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And obviously, we're not in any other office space.
No.
We are in the thick of it here.
We're building.
In one of the custom homes. So give us an idea as to what stage in the process we are in this home.
Well, right now we're in the demolition phase. We just finished the demolition phase. You can see we're in a home that's been torn out. All the walls are torn out. All the windows are gone. Basically, we ripped the back of the house off. So basically, we're digging the basement. So in the city of Chicago, we have the problem of having, you know, 6-foot basements, 7-foot basements. So on modern homes and custom homes, we dig those down to 9 feet, 8.5 feet, depending on the water table in the area.
But I mean, something of this scale, this process takes a long time.
This is about 12 to 14 months, probably, because we're trying to keep as much of the original structure as we can, because the homeowner decided to do it this way rather than to just tear it down, because he can receive tax savings by keeping an existing home. The other good thing we did on this home is that we took all of the lumber and all the fixtures and all of that, and we recycled. So even the demolition process here was 3 months long, because we have to take all the nails out of every piece of lumber.
So obviously there are a lot of different moving pieces when it comes to making sure a project like this moves smoothly. So when it comes to your role in the day-to-day project and with the Builders Association, talk to us a little bit about their role into a project like this.
So I handle the spreadsheets. I handle the financial end of this, especially with working, say, like a bank like Associated, right, where we get construction lending for people. So what I have to do is I have to coordinate what the owner wants to spend, justify it to the bank, and then work with the payouts throughout the bank to make sure the process is smooth.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where juggling so many different balls.
Correct.
It's got to take a lot of experience, obviously.
It does.
To be able to get the process done and on the right timeline.
That's what's hard. I think Associated has been so focused on construction for so many years. They kind of understand how it works, so that they really are very good to the clients, but they're also very good to the guys building the home. And that's what's important. On our end, it's always cash flow, right? So today we have an end loader here and a truck. So basically everybody needs money as this stuff goes along, from deposits to payouts to all of that. I have to coordinate all that. And the easiest thing is because Associated has so many people and have done this for so long, usually their appraisers are out here in a day. So if I call today and say, hey, I'm done with the basement, they're usually here in a day to say, yeah, check it off, fund it, and so we got money to keep the project going.
Right.
That's huge in our business.
And with that, all of those years of experience and that swiftness, it also comes back a little bit onto your experience as well. You're in depth with the Builders Association.
Correct. Correct. And so the relationship there was, when I started, really building heavily in the city, I decided I needed to know the commissioner. I needed to know everybody in the city. So I've made relationships. And those relationships aren't for, hey, scratch my back or something like that. It's just that they know who I am. I can walk in. I can have a legitimate question that a client might have, and they get answered. The Builders Association's aspect of this is that I can help other builders, and I can help homeowners, future homeowners, as we work on affordable projects and affordable housing rules and regulations. So that's something we're doing in conjunction with the City of Chicago.
Right, and as you bring that up, City of Chicago and the relationship that affordable housing and the changing housing scene is top of mind for a lot of people. So
it should be, because it's going to be very hard for young people coming up to have affordable housing if there are not some changes. And those changes aren't drastic. It's just policy changes, where everything is based on people always intending to do good. There's always unintended consequences when you do big swaths of public policy, because you never know what's going to happen 10 years from now.
So you mentioned the communication side. When it comes to making sure a project like this is successful, the social media communication is also really important when it comes to your business, right?
We built the business, the SG business, before this. It was all social media. We basically use social media for our marketing. We use social media to show people our homes. We'd used it to have parties. We'd invite people in to see our homes so that we'd have people who wanted our homes. And I continue to do that. My sites will be up within the next couple months. But it's like, it's one of those processes where I've been doing videos for 16 years. basically houses in this condition and then showing them while they're being built and then showing the finished product. And so people get a little bit of insight as to what happens.
Yeah, it's that visual communication yes. side. Where
yes.
saying
yes.
There's a lot that's going to change from right. day one to right. the end of the process. And
right.
to be able to have that step by step, I imagine that puts a lot of people's mind at ease.
It does put a lot of people's mind at ease. And it's also, I'm a managing broker, so I've done 1,600 real estate transactions. And the key there is, I can tell people when they're looking at a project like this, is it going to be successful? Are you going to be able to get it appraised? Even when it's done, are you going to be able to get it appraised? That's the problem that people run into sometimes by buying things for too much money and then trying to renovate. They can tap themselves where they have to come up with more money than they really want to.
So as Cardone Custom Homes continues to build and you guys continue to grow,
how will Associated Bank be, you know, a player in that?
Well, I refer them. When people come to me and say, hey, I want to look at a house, you know, want to build on this lot or something, I immediately refer them over to somebody associated. My job is to give them as much education as I can. So my educational side of this is the construction, the relationships, the real estate. Associated is, here's what I can do for you financially. I'm not the one giving them money. That's why Associated is just invaluable.
From beginning to end, a long process
yes.
compared to a lot of other things.
Yes.
But let's take a step back, dive a little bit back into your background.
Sure. I started in construction about 16 years ago, working with some very dear friends of mine, the Sieberts. Phil actually owned a mortgage company, and I ran his real estate company. And once the crash happened, we decided to say, hey, let's invest some money and try to build homes for people who need new homes, right? Because during the crash, you had all the foreclosed homes and no place for people to go. So we worked out a system where we could actually build the homes, help the people repair credit, help the people, you know, get financial education, so that we basically had a waiting list for homes of ours. I'm hoping, you know, maybe do another 100 by the time I retire. You know, I like giving back to community. So through the Builders Association, I'm really trying to get back to the place where we can actually build affordable housing for people, south, west sides, even in the north side. Because, you know, the unintended consequences of regulation drives costs up, which means renters have to pay more in the long run. Homeowners have to pay more. And this is such a wonderful city. You know, people want to live here. I originally have them talk to lending because it's the key to this whole thing. I want the people to be comfortable with the amount of money they're going to have as liquidity on the side, and they're building a relationship with the bank that's going to be with them for over a year. You know what I mean? So they got to be comfortable with those people to know that they're going to look out for them, they're going to help them with their financial planning for the future, and they're also going to give them options on how to get out of the loan at the end, which is huge. Many banks offer it, but not many of them have the sustainability that Associated has in construction lending, because it's such a niche that it's hard and it's a lot of labor, but right. they do it very well.
And it's one of those things that a lot of people don't do a bunch of these kind of projects in their life. They
no.
do it maybe once or twice, and
no.
so they're building this out, and this is like this home that we're in, the framework
yeah.
of
yeah.
what they would need to build into later on.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is about that relationship from the architect looking at this and saying, it's 1896. We started tearing into this. We had no idea what was behind the walls. We could have had to tear the whole top of this building up, but because such great construction in the past, we got something we can work with and turn it into a beautiful home for the future.
Well, as you finish out this home, you're
yeah.
finishing out and starting out more projects
Correct.
Throughout the Chicagoland area.
Yes.
What are you excited about seeing, you know, as the Chicago market and the larger suburban market grows out?
Well, in a city, we're really trying to find more affordable housing and create housing affordability for people. That's part of my role with the Builders Association. That's where we work with the city to try to figure out, can we come up with a new bungalow, right? That standard classic Chicago bungalow that was used to be the house of the working class. We need that again. We need to be able to plug that into every neighborhood we possibly can. City is the biggest landholder in the state, in the city. Second is CHA, so that's Chicago Housing Authority, right? So between those two, they have more lots than you can imagine. That's a lot of workers' homes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Right, and we're excited to see it as
yeah.
it develops and grows,
yeah.
and
yeah.
Hopefully we'll be hearing more about the Cardone Custom
Homes. I appreciate that.
So,
appreciate
Pat, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Bennett. Thanks for having me.
Building Business Around Town, brought to you by Associated Bank. Make sure you tune in again next month for another edition.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN, Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a week open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are off nearly 100 points. That's nearly a third. S&P futures are off nearly 0.5%. NASDAQ futures off just a half a percent this morning, down nearly 39 points. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. It was an interesting day in the lean hog contract trade at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday after the limit down move the day before, $3 per hundredweight. That meant the daily limit yesterday was $4.50 a hundredweight. And quoting Dennis Smith of Archer Financial Services, he said hog futures were all over the map. They touched limit down, down $4.50 a hundredweight. However, they did not stay there for even 10 seconds. Most of the trade occurred down $2 a hundredweight. Cattle traded a little bit higher yesterday, and grain traders didn't get shaken quite as much about the trade situation with the U.S. and China, because we ended fractionally higher in wheat, corn, and soybeans. Planting delays getting to be more of a concern in the grain market. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. A couple of other stories before we leave you this morning. Digital ad revenue is still growing. And a new report says internet advertising revenues in the U.S. totaled $107.5 billion for the full year 2018. The first time the figure has topped $100 billion. The report was commissioned by the Interactive Advertising Bureau, IAB, said revenue in 2018 was 21.8% higher than 2017. Uber and Lyft drivers across the country are planning a one-day strike today. The rideshare workers plan to shut off their apps and strike in at least seven U.S. cities. Chicago is among those, and some international cities as well. Many of the drivers set to participate in the walkout argue the company pays drivers low wages while investors get rich off of labor. Also, the decline in Papa John's sales continued. Yesterday, the company reported a sales decline of nearly 7% in its North American division. During the period from January through March, Wall Street analysts had expected the decline, a decline of less than 6.5%. The company says it expects sales to improve during the April through June period. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, May the 8th. The latest look at mortgage applications is due. Overall applications fell 4.3% last week. The national average for 30-year fixed-rate mortgage down to 4.42%. Also today, we'll get a look at the EIA Petroleum Status Report. Fed Speaker Lael Brainard on monetary policy today. A big day for earnings as well. Honda Motor, Madison Square Garden, New York Times, Office Depot, Thomson Reuters, Wendy's, Fossil, Hostess Brands, Roku, Stamps.com, and Disney all reporting financial earnings today, quarterly financial earnings. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, May the 8th.